Let us pray. We turn back to you with repentant hearts. We find amazing grace. Lord, it is our hope and it is our peace for this day. Lord, may we love and forgive as you love and forgive us. We pray this in the name of your dear son, Jesus. Amen. So we heard a parable this morning in our gospel lesson, and a parable is often one of those things that requires us to think more critically. Jesus seemed to like parables, used them often instead of just directly saying what he meant. And so in this morning's parable, as you heard the words of our Lord Jesus read, I hope it left you a little unsettled. It left me a little unsettled, especially how Jesus closed the parable. He said, and in anger, his master delivered him to his jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Now, if we were to summarize this full parable that our Lord Jesus told us, we might summarize it by saying, God is serious about forgiveness. God is serious about forgiving you, and God is serious about you and me forgiving each other. Now, I want to walk through this parable a little bit in a little bit of detail this morning so we can get at exactly what our Lord Jesus is teaching us. So he begins by saying that the kingdom of heaven, it's like this king that calls forward the debts that are owed to him. It's time for the servants to pay up. And here's the thing about a debt. When a debt is due, it's due. You have to pay. You knew what you were doing in accumulating the debt, so when it's time to pay for it, you pay, or there are what? Consequences. There's always consequences. So we have this story of this man. This particular man is called forward before the king, and he happens to have a massive debt. It says he owes 10,000 talents. Now, we don't deal in talents today in currency, so the significance of this might be missed, at least initially, for us. So I want to do a little historical context math here. So during that time, the average worker, the average laborer, would make one denarius a day. One denarius. He gets paid that to live on, to pay his rent, to buy food, to put clothes on the backs of his wife and kids, maybe feed an animal. One silver talent required 7,300 denarii. I checked my math with Pastor Thompson, so you know it's solid. 7,300 denarii for one talent. He gets one denarii a day. So, to earn one talent, an average worker would have to work 7,300 days in a row. That's 20 years. 20 years to earn one talent. Now let's go back to the story. How many did the man owe? 10,000. This is getting ridiculous, isn't it? To pay off 10,000 talents, it would take 200,000 years. Come on, Jesus, what are you doing? You know this is ridiculous. That's generational debt. That's debt that generations after generations after generations would be saddled with trying to pay back, and they couldn't do it. It's an absurd financial obstacle. So we stick with this man's life. Somehow, during his lifetime, he made enough bad decisions, one after another, to dig himself into an impossibly deep hole. But there he was before the king. King called him forward to pay his debt. I gotta think he went through those doors. You don't get into this deep of a hole accidentally. No, this is intentional. To incur this much debt, you would have to intentionally make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. So in a sense, this king's response is justified. This servant couldn't claim ignorance. He couldn't say he was tricked. No, he knew what he was doing. And it was time to pay up. He knew he couldn't. So in a last-ditch effort, he begged. He begged the king for mercy. He said, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." What a fool, right? We just did the math. There's no way he'd be able to pay that debt. Now, maybe in the moment he thought he actually could. Maybe he thought he could do something, some kind of dealings to do that. Maybe he was just arrogant enough to still think he was in control of the situation. Or maybe in that moment he saw he had no other option. Maybe in that moment he saw that he was desperate and all he could do is beg at the foot of that king. So in hearing his words, the king responds with something completely unexpected. And from a logical business perspective, something pretty foolish. We're talking like $6 to $10 billion in today's money. So the king responds by canceling the debt. He erased it for no good reason other than just excessive grace and kindness. He cancels the debt. You don't owe a penny or a denarii. You don't owe anything. This debt that once saddled you, you're now free of it. That is nothing but grace upon grace. Now, I hope at this point, you're very obviously and clearly seeing the parallel between the servant in this parable and us today. See, we're that servant. You and I, we have accumulated this sin debt that we simply cannot repay. It's impossible. It's too great. And much like that servant, our debt deserves and warrants an intolerable consequence as well. Eternal death. Eternal suffering and misery. That's what we're due. And like the servant, we can do nothing but cry out to God, "Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, forgive me for all the ways in which I've turned against you. Lord, do not punish me, please, as I deserve." And when we do that, how does God respond? With grace upon grace. Through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, every time you and I confess our sins to God, he tells us, "All your sins are forgiven. You're free and clear. The burden's lifted. All the debt, all the payment, the debt has been squashed by the Lord Jesus, by his blood." Now it'd be great if Jesus stopped the parable right here, right? Let's just stop at grace upon grace. I can live with that. But that's not where he stops. He keeps going. And he gets into the story about what this man did after he left the presence of the king. And at this point in the story, I don't know about you, but there's this temptation where I want to remove myself from this. Hey, I'm no longer the servant. I was a servant on the first half, but not this, but this second part of the story. But make no mistake, you and I, we are very much still the servant as he continues. And so our Lord Jesus continues, and he says that this man left the king's presence, and he goes back into the public space, and he sees his own debtor. Now, after leaving the king's presence, this servant had to have been overjoyed. I mean, his whole life was changed. He took something that was an impossible burden sitting on his shoulders every single day, and it's just gone. Imagine the joy he'd take home to his wife and kids that evening. He had to have been floating out of that palace. He had to have remembered it. It had to have been fresh on his mind. But none of that seemed to register with him. It's a servant. He approaches his debtor. And the text says he chokes him. He grabs him by the throat. He says, "Pay up." The debtor pleads with him with the exact same words. He said, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." So how does the servant respond? Throws him in jail. No mercy. No grace. If you're like me, you want to holler at this guy and go, "My man, what are you doing? Did you just forget what happened 90 seconds ago? Did you just forget how much love and grace and forgiveness you just received from the King? What are you doing right now? Oh, how quickly sin crept back into this man's life. Oh, how quickly sin crept back into his life and led him to satisfy his sinful flesh and to harm his fellow man. It's like all that stuff that went down with that king, all that amazing grace never happened. Each time today that you and I go before the Lord and we beg for his forgiveness, in moments of repentance and confession, we receive abundant grace, just like the servant in this story. Every time we gather here for worship and we hear the words of absolution spoken, your sins are forgiven. And every time we gather here for worship, we receive the gifts of the Lord's Supper, this tangible evidence of our forgiveness before God. Every time we're like that servant, being set free and clear from a debt we cannot pay. But then, much like the servant, you and I, we go back into the world and we gut that next person that does us wrong. We go back into the world and we follow our sinful flesh and we forget all about the grace and forgiveness we just received. We fail to show mercy. We fail to show grace. We are really good at smacking each other around with our words and our actions. Oh, how quickly sin creeps back into our lives after we leave the presence of our Lord. Oh, how quickly we give in to our own sinful flesh when the opportunity presents itself. And so here's where the parable gets incredibly sobering for us. The king finds out what his servant did. So he calls that servant forward and he says, "You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And then Jesus closes with the words previously mentioned. "Master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." God is serious about forgiveness. God is serious about forgiving us, and we see most clearly in this parable, God is serious about us forgiving each other. Yeah, we see this parallel between us and the servant in this parable, and it's a sobering, heavy one. But here is the truth. We don't have to be like that servant. You and I, we get a choice in the words we speak and the actions we take. You and I, we get a choice in whether or not we forgive other people. When that temptation comes to us and we want to choke out that person that's done something wrong to us, we don't have to give in to that temptation. We're not helpless prisoners to sin. We're not helpless victims to sin. And the devil never makes you or I do anything. He tempts us. He absolutely tempts us. But he never makes us do anything. Because through your baptism and my baptism, God put us, our old sinful nature, to death. The death of Christ on the cross, our old sinful nature, that one that was a prisoner to sin that we inherited from Adam, it was put to death. And then in his resurrection, we were raised up out of that water to this new life, to live differently. As Paul wrote, to walk in a newness of life. And walking in that newness of life means that we forgive each other. Genuine, real forgiveness. And look, I know this is tough stuff. This is really hard to do. Especially when someone has cut you deeply or the hurt has been long-standing. This is really hard to do. We are weak creatures. It's hard for us to genuinely forgive. It's hard for us to genuinely reconcile. That is why we have to put that matter, We have to put that in God's hands and keep him at the very center of it all. How do I forgive someone who's hurt me? I cry out to God. Lord God, help me to forgive. Lord God, help me to forgive. I simply cannot do it on my own. It's God's Holy Spirit dwelling within you and me that gets us to the point of forgiving each other. And it may take time. It's not always quick. But it's only by the Holy Spirit that we get there. And here's the thing about forgiveness. It's most effective and it's best when both parties are involved. So if you've sinned against someone, if you've hurt someone, if you've knowingly cut someone at the knees through your words and action, please humble yourself and repent to them. Go to that person. Admit your mistake. Tell them you're sorry. And make it genuine. Make it real. Make it from the heart. Squash the ego and the pride and be truly repentant in that moment. Seek genuine reconciliation. And if you're the one that is receiving words of repentance, if someone's coming to you and confessing their sins against you, be gracious to them. Be merciful. Be humble. Love and forgive as you have been loved and forgiven. See, brothers and sisters, we gather here today in an amazing state of grace. In grace upon grace from our God, our sin has been forgiven. We've been set free and clear from the eternal punishment. May we not grow dull to that. May that stay ever fresh in our minds, just how much our God has loved us and how much he has forgiven us. And then may we go back into our own lives, in our interactions with each other, and look to love and forgive as we have been loved and forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are broken creatures living in a broken world. And Lord, so sin is all around us. Sin comes from us. Sin hurts us. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would remind us every single day of your grace and your love and your forgiveness for us. And then by your Spirit, may you lead us into the terribly difficult task of forgiving someone who has hurt us. Lord God, we depend on your grace fully and completely. Grant us strength to extend that grace to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.